Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to another edition of The Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio momentarily. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Got a couple of interesting call-in topics to discuss, too. Like your help with that at 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Had a couple of interesting responses to who do you want Penn State to play in the 2014 TBA date that is on the schedule. Facebook was the place to go for that answer. Steve Jones Show on Facebook. Don said Bama. Let's see, Rich said Pittsburgh would be a good choice, and Rick said USC, all of the opportunities for Penn State, teams that Penn State could play in the 2014 season. I'm not, like I said the other day, Bama kind of has me nervous. I like the Pitt idea. USC is kind of intriguing. Wouldn't mind seeing Notre Dame come back, but there's always the issues when it comes with Notre Dame coming back on the schedule. My favorite, though, was Boise State. I thought Boise State would be very, very interesting. And we're talking a little bit about the Big East yesterday and its downfall and somewhat failures, you could call it, from time to time. Boise State may not even be going to the Big East. There's still a chance that they may back out of that deal. And if they're able to continue in the Mountain West, what would happen would be they would have to pay $5 million to the Big East instead of moving everything over. But if they wait till after July 1st, it would cost $10 million to get out of that deal. So they're hoping that the Mountain West will make a decision on the rest of their sports somewhere before July 1st. That could save them $5 million. And then the other question is, if they go out, does San Diego State leave as well? Because they were set to come in a little bit later on. So those are some of the interesting things that are going on right now. Some of the topics we have for the day, we'll be talking about conferences and getting your opinions on conferences at 800-795-9565. We'll also be discussing the possibility of Donovan McNabb making a reappearance somewhere in the NFL. Andy Reid the other day said that he would recommend Donovan McNabb as a quarterback. Now the question is, if you are an Eagles fan or a fan of any NFL team, would you want Donovan McNabb as your starter and or backup? I think in Philadelphia it would be safe to say backup would be the position there. There's been some discussion of the quarterback situation in New York with the Jets. They haven't even started practicing yet, serious practice, and there's been discussion about the starting quarterback in New York. As I said earlier, what's going to happen when Sanchez throws his first big pick on a drive where they need points and end up losing the game? It's going to be Tebow time from that very moment. So those are some of the things we'll be discussing here today on the Steve Jones Show. Don't forget, coming up later this week, we'll talk about the Preakness, and we'll do that with Dick Girardi. He was unable to help me get some money last time around. Maybe he can help me make some money this time around. And that's all on the Steve Jones Show. Don't forget, you can find us on the web, too. SteveJonesShow.com is the place to look there. You'll find some of our topics, some of the things we've discussed on the show, maybe some of the pictures after that. And also, you'll be able to hear an entire podcast of each hour of the program a little after 5 o'clock each day. So if you can't listen for some reason during the day to the entire show, but you'd like to hear it later on, you can do that with the podcast. That's all at SteveJonesShow.com. Just a couple of places you can visit with us. Emails are always welcome to SteveJones@WKOK.com. And that's probably the best way to voice your opinion if you do listen to the podcast, is via email. Major League Baseball said today that the Mets City Field will be the site for the 2013 All-Star Game. That'll be interesting because Philly fans are always a little nervous when they go up to the Mets. So when they go up to New York and see the Mets and how they'll be treated there. So it'll be interesting to see how any of the Phillies faithful that make the trip up and the players will be received by the New York Mets fans at Citi Field. That'll be July 13th, 2013. Baseball decided at least 4 years ago that the Mets would host a game at the ballpark, which opened in 2009, but kind of held off on the announcement until it reached agreements with the city and agencies for the All-Star services and related events like Fan Fest. Bud Selig said the Mets' financial problems caused by the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme didn't delay the announcement, though. He said he's had great faith in the Wilpons and the family and was very confident that they'd work things out, and they have. So he said he has no trepidations at all about making this. The last time the Mets hosted the All-Stars was 1964. That was the year Shea Stadium opened. The last game in New York in 2008, the finale of the old Yankee Stadium. That was the last All-Star game there. Kansas City will host this year's game, and the 2014 game expected to be played in Minneapolis at Target Field.
Great spots.
You think?
Great spots. Yeah, they're all great spots.
I don't know. Kansas City doesn't excite me. I mean, I like the outfield in Kansas City.
No, but Kansas City, I mean, really, if you were there, you'd be king.
All right, maybe I should go to Kansas City there. Maybe I like that a lot more.
They love you, man. They do.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of reception the National League East teams get in New York next year. The representatives from those teams get from Mets fans.
Well, if it means home field in the World Series, I would think they get a nice reception.
And you're not a big fan of that, though. That's what I was going to bring up next, actually. You're not a big fan of home field for the World Series being decided by the All-Star game, are you?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just being, you know, it's... No, I'm not. Never have been.
And a lot of these All-Star games are starting to go away. NFL's talking about doing away with their Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Because of lack of interest. All-Star game, even though it's in the middle of the season, it's missing something. I can't quite picture what it is, but it doesn't have the same excitement as I think it might have maybe even a couple of decades ago.
Look, everything's changed over time. I don't mind an All-Star game as an exhibition game. That's fine. But you have guys that want to miss the All-Star game that rather have the 3 days off. I mean, putting the home field in the World Series on the line, okay, that's fine. But, you know, suddenly the World Series is on the line with the relief pitcher for the Kansas City Royals who made it. Really?
Well,
I mean, really.
Listen, the way the All-Star game is voted, that's the big problem that I have. And I talked about that before. How you vote for All-Star players in week two of the season, that's ridiculous.
I mean, you want to hand out the ballots
early, that's fine. Just don't collect them that same day.
Kevin, things are different now than they were in the 60s and 70s because of television and everything being on television now. It has a completely different meaning. The All-Star game would come on. Well, guess what? You had the Saturday game of the week. You had your team on TV, I don't know, 30 times a year?
At best.
Okay, 30 times a year on local television. Okay, it's a big deal the game was on TV. That's why they talk about, you know, radio, you know, baseball is such a great radio game. Well, baseball still is a great radio game. You know, you take it out to the garden with you, get in the car, travel around, having a little something to eat out on the deck on an early summer evening. Yeah, baseball is a great radio sport. But, of course, back then it was an incredible radio sport because guess what? That's where you got the game, on the radio. You didn't get it on TV.
Well, with all the channels now, all the sports channels, and then, of course, if you have the Major League Baseball Extra Innings package, you can see pretty much any game you want at any time. So maybe that does have something to do with the lack of magic.
Has everything to do with it. Yeah, you watch the All-Star game, guess what? First time you saw most of those guys.
That's true. That's true, especially the West Coast guys.
I mean, that's what I mean. There was the intrigue. Wow, I get to watch Willie Mays. Okay? Well, if we had the same situation television-wise in the 60s as we do now, you could watch Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Pete Rose anytime you wanted. Roberto Clemente. You know, the All-Star game to be a mystery, where suddenly you have the greatest collection of stars on the same field together, and you never got a chance to see Reggie Jackson. You never got a chance to see Harmon Killebrew. You never got a chance to see Al Kaline. You didn't get a chance to see Willie Stargell. You didn't get a chance to see Johnny Callison. You know, they're guys that you never got a chance to see. Now you get a chance to see them. Even that, you know, and say, for example, one of the, you know, in the early years, your family finally got a color TV set. Wow, the Phillies have red.
I always wondered what color they were.
Yeah, but I'm serious, you know, because all your pictures are black and white, and, you know, unless you had a baseball card. I mean, baseball cards were a big deal. They're not a big deal any longer. You know, there was that point in time where getting a card was a huge deal because of the rarity of the card. Okay, I mean, the rarity of the card has been brought up before, from Honus Wagner to a Mickey Mantle rookie card and so forth. But that was your way to actually see them. You didn't get a chance to see anybody in the 60s and 70s. Television's changed all that. It's changed everything. You have guys in the Pro Bowl now that just trying not to get hurt. NHL All-Star Game. You know, they score so many goals. Why? Who? I mean, name anybody who's been checked in the last how many years in the NHL All-Star Game.
Name the last NHL All-Star Game that's been under 20.
Right. And then you look at, you know, in the NBA. The NBA All-Star Game. I mean, that's, you know, but nobody plays defense. You know, they put a collection of stars on the floor all at the same time, blah, 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 and you play. It's all, everything's different now. I mean, and things have changed over time. And television has changed all of it. Some for the great and some for the not so great. Take, for example, I think everyone thought when the Indianapolis 500 made it to, you know, the Indy 500 was on delayed TV forever and ever and ever.
Oh, that was awful. I'd spend the entire day trying to find out what didn't happen.
No, I'd listen to it on the radio. I always listen to it on the radio. Sid Collins, the late Sid Collins, was the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It was fabulous to listen to. I always listened to the Indianapolis 500 every Memorial Day. Without fail, every Memorial Day.
See, for me, it was Paul Page.
Well, I go back to Sid Collins. Unfortunately, the tragedy of Sid Collins' life, he ended up taking his own life. But he was... he was the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Television has changed all of this. Some good, some bad. Okay? Now, the good is, I love the fact I can watch any game anytime I want. I enjoy that. Okay? Things have changed over time, but I do enjoy the fact I can watch any game anytime I want. Okay? Now, the bad part. Okay? The 24/7 feature of sports, especially on ESPN. I mean, stop driving the agenda of what I want to watch. I mean, stop. I can't watch SportsCenter. Can't. I mean, I wish they'd just do sports. Yeah, but they got to be pop culture and cool and right in such a way. Look, you're not all Dan Patrick and you're not all Keith Olbermann, okay? So stop trying to be whatever. Just, you know. I like SportsCenter better when they sat there and said, okay, here's the night in the American League, and they would go through the highlights of seven American League games. Here's the, you know, and they come back. We'll come back with the National League after this. Well, they come back with the National League, and guess what? They come back with eight National League games. Bang, 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 bang. All right, let's go to the night in hockey. Bang, 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 bang. Let's go to the night in the NBA. Bang, bang, bang. It was all set. Now it's jumbled all over the place. You got a little strip telling you what's coming up next and blah. You know, come on.
I'm glad the little strip's there. If the little strip was there, I wouldn't know where to, when
no
to stop
idea
watching.
Where you were. Yeah, you had no idea where you were. I can't watch SportsCenter anymore. Can't. Nothing about SportsCenter intrigues me. I don't need to hear analysis. Okay? That's what we have this show for. No.
Can I have a booyah from the audience, please?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, but don't need that. You know, don't need to have Barry Melrose. I mean, and I like Barry Melrose, too. I think he's very good. But, I mean, do I need to have the thoughts of Chris Carter on? I don't need the thoughts of Chris Carter on anything. Okay, anything. I don't need to be told what he thinks. And, I mean, they spend most of the time analyzing with their own people. I really don't need that. I can figure out the game myself. I don't need to be told by Tim Legler what I just saw. I don't need that.
Or stuff that's really not a highlight that they turn into a highlight.
Right. I mean, spot shadows and blah, blah, blah. Look at the spot. I was like, oh, for goodness sakes. You know? And they focus on the same people all the time. And I understand that's a product of television and the ratings. I understand that. They always focus on LeBron James. Always focus on Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods hasn't done anything in a golf tournament. Has only been involved in, what, 3 golf tournaments in the last 3 years where he actually has been a factor, maybe 4. I watched the highlight package, I think it was in February, where they had 9 highlights. 6 were of Tiger Woods. 1 was of the guy leading. What? Why don't you show me what he's doing? He's the one hitting all the good shots. I want to see him. Now, maybe I'm too old school.
You're too Charlie Steiner.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am. But...
Well, you know what?
I love sports more than ever. I don't like what they do with it.
I think Berman changed all that though, because he made it unique with his comments, and now everybody feels as though they have to. And you mentioned it earlier, the same with Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann. They made the 11 o'clock Sports Center almost like entertainment news instead of sports news, but everybody had to take that one step further then.
Nick Charles passed away this year. Nick Charles, and I met Nick Charles a couple times, liked him very much, interviewed him, had him on the talk show a couple times. He was the anchor of CNN Sports Tonight along with Fred Hickman. And they also had Jim Huber, and Jim Huber just passed away too. So between Nick Charles, Jim Huber, and Fred Hickman, and Huber was a brilliant writer. For a half hour from 11 to 11:30, they did sports. And they did it in the order and the fashion I had talked about earlier. Right? When ESPN started morphing into we're hip and cool, I went over to them because I actually wanted to see what was happening. And I watched Sports Tonight actually on CNN far longer than I ever watched SportsCenter.
If CNN SI were to come back now, in your opinion, would it have a better shot because of the way ESPN has changed?
ESPN dominates everything now. They own, you know, they own contracts to every major sport but the NHL. They dominate everything. I mean, they're the spot to go to. I mean, hotels, for example. I mean, you don't have yet. It used to be, hey, we have HBO. Now you better make sure you have ESPN.
That's true. I've seen it when you look at some of the older style hotels that still have it. It says HBO and ESPN. I never really thought about that though.
No. Kensington Court, which is in Ann Arbor, across the street from the Ann Arbor Mall. That's where we stayed for a long time. All right? Guess what? They don't have ESPN. We moved. We went to the Marriott in Ypsilanti. They didn't have ESPN.
Had nothing to do with the room service, right?
The place was okay. The rooms were okay. I mean, where we ended up, the Marriott in Ypsilanti is a far superior hotel to begin with. It's a Marriott, okay? But remember, Dick Girardi called me up on the phone one day. He says, I'm in my room. He says, I'm trying to find the Villanova game. And I said, Dick, they don't have ESPN. He says, oh, good. So I thought I was going insane.
Did you tell him he can now get it on his phone, though, on his mobile phone?
No, I didn't do that. All right, we'll come back with more after this.
Sutton Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month, and it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, 3-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte 4-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
All those years ago, you had control of our smile for 2 years. All those years ago.
Yeah, reminiscing with Steve.
All those years ago. I mean, and again, we go back to an era where there were four channels, and all of a sudden the All-Star game would come up, and you're like, hey, great. That's the first time you had a chance to hear about the, you know, and watch the great Roberto Clemente play. You're like, wow. Yes. Because guess what? You didn't get a chance to see him play.
In my case, it was four channels when the leaves were off the trees.
Well, so, I mean, that's why the All-Star games are going bye-bye. There really is no, there's no intrigue about them. There's nothing exciting about them. There's, in fact, the only thing that can happen right now with an All-Star game is somebody getting hurt. I know that Major League Baseball has tried, and I give Bud Selig credit for trying. It's time to run up the white flag.
Free substitutions. Work. Free substitutions will answer it.
All right, bottom of the hour news, and then we have a couple of intriguing questions we want to discuss.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up tomorrow, Ron Cook from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com as our shabby guest week continues.
You got to pick up the pace.
And Dick Girardi Friday on the Preakness.
Hopefully with a better suggestion than the last race for me.
Well, Bodemeister was in the top two.
He did. He did. And he's in this one, too.
Yeah.
A little bit of discussion that he might not be, but he is.
Mile and 3/16. See, I think Bodemeister wins this week.
Well, if he does what he did last time.
And if Union Rags is in the Belmont, Union Rags won the Belmont. Mark it down.
I've already got it. It's on record now.
Yeah, mark it down. All right, our new poll question. Now I want to open up the lines on this. Do you like Penn State being in the Big Ten? And I want to know, I want to hear from all of you out there. I want to get your opinions on the on this, pro and con. And I'll listen. You don't need my opinion on this. Maybe at the end I'll give one. But I would like to find out, do you like Penn State being in the Big Ten? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Now, Penn State has now been in the Big Ten for 20 years. 20 years Penn State's been in the Big Ten. In fact, it'll be the 20th season of Big Ten football for Penn State. They just finished their 20th basketball season, their 20th wrestling season. This will be their 20th football season coming up in the Big Ten. So my question is, do you like Penn State being in the Big Ten? Our number is 1-800-795-9565, and that is our poll question as well on stevejonesshow.com. And love to hear what your answers are on this. If you don't, then where do you think they should be? Pitt and Syracuse are going to eventually get to the ACC. It's going to take a little while. West Virginia's moved on to the Big 12. Temple's gone back to the Big East, where there's a sense of irony to that. Aren't you the same guys that kicked them out? there's movement all over the place. Now, Penn State's not going anywhere. But I want to know what you, the fans, think. What do you, the fan, you're the ones that have to buy the tickets, be a part of it, see it all the time. You may have preferences. So, again, 1-800-795-9565. Do you like Penn State being in the Big Ten? Yes or no?
I'll tell you what I miss with Penn State being in the Big Ten and the new format for the Big Ten is I miss Penn State-Michigan games.
Well, you'll get that next year.
I know. It's coming back. I know. But it was definitely something that was missing in this past year's schedule. And by the way, you can go to our Twitter page, the Steve Jones Show, and hashtag it Big10PSU, and then we can all follow along.
So I want to find out. We talked about this yesterday. I did the setup on this yesterday. I talked about the history of the Big East, what a mess the Big East is. I mean, look, the Big East is not a BCS player. It is darn. The Big East is not a BCS player. Now, if they'd done what Joe Paterno had said 31 years ago, the Eastern Football Conference, the Eastern All Sports Conference would have been a BCS player. It would have been a prime time BCS player. No question. They'd have been in the thick of it. Penn State, Pitt, West Virginia, Rutgers, Temple, Syracuse, BC, Maryland. They'd be right there. But because of a lack, again, the bottom line is the East is in the mess that it's in, and the domino effect of what we see is in place because of a lack of foresight at Boston College, Syracuse, and Pitt 31 years ago. One guy had foresight, everyone else was short-sighted, didn't see the big picture. So 1-800-795-9565 is our number. 1-800-795-9565. And then Penn State shocked everybody, went to the Big Ten. Now Penn State's heading into its 20th Big Ten football season. So I want to know, do you like Penn State in the Big Ten? Or if you don't, do you have an alternative that you think is better? And even being independent is a proper answer, too. If you think, because you like the independent days, that's fine. But I just want to know what you think.
The only problem with being an independent is there's a money issue then.
No, sure there is. But I'm just saying, but I'm talking about a fan's point of view here. From the fan's point of view. I want to hear what they have to say. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I want to find out, do you, the fans, like Penn State and the Big Ten, yes or no, and why? Just want to hear. Maybe you love the competition of the Big Ten. Maybe you like the tradition of the Big Ten. Maybe now you're used to the rivalries. I was talking to somebody the other day about, for example, Penn State-Pitt. And, of course, Penn State and Pitt have only had that four-game series since Penn State went to the Big Ten. They played in 97, 98, 99, 2000. They're going to play again in 16 and 17. Bill O'Brien says he's open to playing far more often. Interesting. But this friend of mine said that he went to a Penn State game and they announced the Pitt score. And Pitt was losing. And there was a ripple of applause to the crowd. Oh, yeah. He said, but it was really almost like, I just made a par on 17, play golf applause. He said he then went to Heinz Field a couple weeks later, and he heard them announce the Penn State score, and Penn State was losing, and the place went wild.
You would think Pitt was now dominating the game. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The other way around, Pitt fans love it when Penn State's losing.
That's because the Penn State-Pitt series means far more to Pitt, and they need it more than Penn State. Penn State does not need that Pitt on its schedule. They don't. Would it be nice? Yeah, it'd be nice. I'm looking forward to broadcasting the games in 16 and 17. But I think it'll be fun. It's part of college football. It's a great rivalry.
I think Notre Dame, you'd see an equal reaction from both fans if the other team was losing.
Right. But it's amazing. I think time has changed all this. Time has dramatically changed. You know, we talked about time has changed. We were talking about all-star games, baseball, and so forth. We're going to get to Vance Worley here in a moment, by the way. He's on the DL. But time has changed things. Penn State and Pitt have played four times since Penn State joined the Big Ten. Four. That's it. And you can kill a rivalry. I mean, even within the same conference, you can kill a rivalry. And I'll give you a great example. Oklahoma-Nebraska. Oklahoma-Nebraska was the Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving weekend game in the Big Eight for many, many years. And usually it was the game, much like Ohio State, Michigan, that determined who the Big Ten, who the Big Eight champion was. Television ratings were great. Games were exciting, competitive, high level. You know, suddenly it wasn't Oklahoma running over Kansas 56-0. Suddenly they're in a game. And also it's in that era where how many of those games were on TV? Maybe two a year. And suddenly you had Oklahoma and Nebraska. They joined the Big 12. They set up Northern and Southern divisions. Guess what? Oklahoma and Nebraska are not in the same division. Oklahoma and Nebraska rotate off each other's schedules. Guess what? Rivalry killed. And they killed it within their own conference. I mean, in their own conference, they killed the rivalry. The Penn State-Pitt rivalry was killed because Pitt people had no foresight and thought they could have their basketball cake and eat it too. And then Penn State joined an all-sports conference in the Big Ten, looked around and said, sorry, don't need this. Now, the intensity of the Penn State-Pitt rivalry from 74 to 83, the rivalry in those years from 74 to 83 rivaled the intensity of Oklahoma, Nebraska, Auburn, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. But as we move forward in all of this, times change. And Penn State and Pitt have only played four times. And I'm not so sure there is the intensity on the part of the Penn State fan base about this series and getting bad as there is for Pitt, because the Pitt fan, they need it. I mean, let's face it, they do not even remotely come close to selling out Heinz Field. Not even close. I mean, it's just, if Penn State goes there, boom. In 2016, that place is a sellout like that. There are really only three schools that can sell out that, maybe four. Four can sell out Heinz Field, okay? Penn State, Notre Dame, West Virginia, but that's going bye-bye now, and Ohio State. They're the only ones. Pitt can't sell it out on their own. They need to have somebody come in. And those are the only four that can come in and sell the place out. So they need Penn State in the schedule.
You know, you talk about the rivalries, and I think you see Penn State-Michigan, because of the Big Ten, has become a rivalry. As a matter of fact, Michigan complained that they had too many rivalries now with Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. So what? I mean, you created the rivalry because of the game, because of the way the games happen. All right, so I don't even acknowledge that. But when you look at Penn State, Michigan, there's a really interesting rivalry that has lasted throughout this whole 20-year stretch, and they've all had classic games involved.
There've been a lot of close games. Now, they've rotated off Penn State's schedule. I mean, it's not the first time they've rotated off, because before the current setup, you had two designated rivals on your schedule that you played every year, and then among the other eight schools, because there were only 11 at the time, among the other eight schools, they each took turns, two at a time, rotating off your schedule over a span. So Michigan has rotated off of Penn State's schedule. Penn State's two designated rivals had been Michigan State and Ohio State.
But how many times have you seen people stay in Beaver Stadium to watch a game being broadcast on the big screens when Appalachian State was beating Michigan? I mean, people actually walked back into the stadium at that point, or at least attempted to, when they heard the games were on, that game was actually being broadcast on the big screens. I mean, there were a lot of people still in that stadium after that game.
That happened in many stadiums across the land, my friend.
Well,
they wanted to see the miracle happen.
I understand that, but in Ohio State and Penn State might have been the two bigger ones.
But when you're in a conference, you develop rivalries over time. The Penn State, Michigan State ended up being a rivalry. Now, what makes a rivalry? What makes a rivalry is that you have to play every year, right? But you have to be able to beat each other. You have to. Yeah, Penn State lost its rival with Syracuse. Syracuse won twice over the last, 21 years of that thing? I mean, from 1970 to 1987, and Syracuse didn't win a game. That's no rivalry. West Virginia went from 1955 to 1984 when they finally won. Didn't win a game. Rivalry is when both teams can win. That's why the Michigan thing this year against Ohio State was pivotal. Ohio State won, 8 in a row? That was getting... Look, I've maintained during that 8-year stretch that Ohio State, Michigan was starting to become... Look... Not what the conference hoped for or what they think. That's why I don't like the thing I don't like about the divisional setup is the crossover game and the appeasement of keeping Michigan and Ohio State playing one another. Fine, they can play one another. I don't care if they play one another every single year. Put them in the same division. I mean, there's some fantasy in the Big Ten that Ohio State and Michigan are going to play, and then all of a sudden they're going to play again a week later in Indianapolis. What? Game actually has more meaning if you put them in the same division. I don't care if Penn State switches divisions. If Penn State switched divisions and suddenly had Michigan State, Nebraska, I'd be fine with that. It wouldn't bother me. I mean, but that crossover game I don't like. Now, if you're going to have a crossover game, I like it's Nebraska. But again, Big Ten. Do you like Penn State in the Big Ten? That's the question. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I really would love to give your opinions on this. Hear what you have to think because you're the ones that buy the tickets. You're the ones that have to travel in and out of here. You're the ones that watch it on television. Do you like Penn State in the Big Ten? 20th season of Big Ten football coming up. And it doesn't have to just be if you're a football fan. If you're a wrestling fan, you're a basketball fan, you're a fan of baseball, you're a fan of field hockey, I don't care. Women's basketball, I want to know, do you like Penn State being in the Big Ten? We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Tomorrow, Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com. All tomorrow's show, Dick Girardi Friday from the Preakness. Why? Because I forced him to. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Do you like Penn State in the Big Ten? We are now heading into the 20th year of Big Ten football. Just finished the 20th year of Big Ten wrestling, basketball, volleyball, baseball, so forth. Football began in 93, so this is the 20th season coming up. Do you like Penn State in the Big Ten? Yes or no? And if not, then what would you like? Vance Worley goes to the disabled list for the Philadelphia Phillies. It's retroactive, but the encouraging news is that Kyle Kendrick starts tonight. There is joy throughout the heartland on that one. His last five starts has not exactly set the world on fire. And for the Phillies, it is a situation where, once again, and we saw it yesterday, you could start Cliff Lee, you could start Roy Halladay, you could start Cole Hamels, and until recently, outstanding series of starts from Vance Worley. But they have to somehow get to Jonathan Papelbon. They have no way to do it. You know, the Pirates, okay, are not the Phillies. The Phillies have superior bats. They have superior starters, although the Pirate starters may not be the big names, but the Pirate starters have been very good. The Pirates have a much better bullpen than the Phillies do. The Phillies right now, I'm telling you right now, if the Phillies have the Pirates bullpen, they're in first place. Pirates bullpen is just better. The Pirates are better in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning pitching-wise than the Phillies are. In fact, I don't even think it's close. Now, Papelbon, Hanrahan's a good closer. Papelbon, obviously, is one of the great closers. I mean, I'm sorry. Hanrahan is very, very good. Papelbon's done it over a longer period of time, and he's also done it on the biggest stage. He has saved LCS games. He has saved three World Series games in his career. He's been out there for the final out of a World Series, and he's allowed nothing in postseason play for the most part. I mean, obviously... Yeah, a couple times he has, but for the most part, he's been outstanding. So Papelbon, he'll be better than Hanrahan, but Hanrahan would be functional if he were the Phillies closer. He'd be a functional guy for them. The problem is, for the Phillies, Vance Worley goes down. Now Kyle Kendrick goes to the starting rotation, and Matt Garza goes tonight for the Cubbies. And Garza, even though he's 2-1, has an excellent ERA. He's right, I think, in the 2.56, 2.57 range. Kendrick, his last five appearances have been, whoa. But if the Phillies had the Pirates' bullpen, the Phillies would be in first place. The Phillies have enough, by the way. They have enough, even without Utley and Howard offensively, to get some runs across the board. Their problem happens to be what happens in the 7th and 8th innings. And yesterday, even though they won, was evidence again. I present the evidence on the table to you. All right, more Big Ten talk after the top of the hour. First, CBS News and Sarah Bartlett on WKOK.